A Civil War soldier's ghost makes an appearance at a rather unopportune time. Guys, think stage fright. It is a creepy story, an amazing story. If you're into Civil War history and ghosts, this is a story you don't want to miss. It's on a recent episode of Real Ghost Stories Online EPP bonus episode called Classified Paranormal, if you want to check it out.
You won't forget this one.
When you sign up to be an EPP at Real Ghost Stories Online, you get access to more than 50 EPP bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. It's only $5 a month, and it keeps our show on the air. If you enjoy this show, consider supporting it and becoming an EPP, extra podcast person, at realghoststoriesonline.com now.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an encounter with a psychic reveals a secret buried in a listener's backyard. An inexplicable urge may have saved a man's life. A couple becomes alarmed when the woman on the back of a motorcycle next to their car vanishes, and an elderly couple are glad to share their home with a young family as long as the family doesn't mind that they're ghosts. Wasn't that a movie?
I don't know. Was it?
That was the... It's not What Lies Beneath, was it? No, it was another one.
No, not What Lies Beneath.
It was around that time. They go into the big Victorian mansion. There's the older folks that live there, and then it turns out it was kind of reminiscent of I See Dead People, where you don't realize till the end of the movie, oh, they're dead.
The Others?
The Others.
With Nicole Kidman?
That one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like that anyway.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Maybe it really does happen in real life. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. God, I'm this bad now at trying to recall things. I am really screwed when I get old.
Yeah, you are.
I'm just going to be like, just this. Yeah, go talk to Grandpa. There is that guy thing, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you even talking about? Thing. I've like lost other words. It'll just be thing. So
as long as you remember my name, my grandfather lovingly refers to my grandmother as Whatchamadiddle.
Yeah.
That's all he can remember right now.
Well, that's kind of cute.
It is cute.
That's would you be offended if I started calling you Whatchamadiddle?
Yeah.
Really?
I wouldn't like that.
But that.
I think it's funny he can remember that.
Yeah.
But not her name, but mm-hmm. that. Even lately, that's gone too.
Sure.
Now it's just, where's my wife?
It's just the way that, unfortunately, that goes sometimes. But yeah, I'm just, my memory is, I have a good memory on things, just not like names and places and,
yeah.
I don't know. I can describe things, but that's about it. It's always like a giant game of Pictionary with me.
It is.
It's really, that's why no one wants to play it. Ever, if I suggest, hey, let's play a family game, Pictionary. It's just like Pictionary every day with you.
So, yeah.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories to us. And of course, if you like the show, press subscribe on whatever platform it is you are listening on. That way, you won't miss any of the episodes of this fine program. All right, kicking off the show today, we're going to kick it off with a letter here from Sarah. It says, hi, Tony and Jenny. Love your podcast. I'm an EPP member. The extra episodes are so creepy and totally worth the $5 a month. I highly recommend doing that for any listener who hasn't. Something happened a few weeks ago, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. One night, I was woken up out of a sleep with a feeling someone was in the room. I opened my eyes and saw the outlines of two people. One was sitting on the chair about a foot from my bed. He was leaning towards me with his elbows on his knees. The other was standing in the corner, and he was so tall that his head almost touched the ceiling. They weren't moving, just staring at me. I stared back for a few seconds, trying to process what I was seeing. I was surprised at how calm I felt, considering what I was saying. So I said out loud, "I'm not afraid of you." It's hard to explain, but I got the feeling that the one sitting near me smiled, even though I couldn't make out the details of either figure, including facial expressions. I stood up, passed by them, and walked out of the room. When I came back a few minutes later, they were gone. The next morning, I was on the phone with my dad and told him what I'd seen. I heard him call my mom over and said, "She's seen them too. She's seen the shadows." Turns out they've also seen shadow figures in this house. Before this happened, I'd often see things passing by in my peripheral vision, but discounted it to my eyes just playing tricks. Now I'm not so sure. I don't know anything about shadow people, and I considered that maybe I was sleeping and dreamed it all, except I could feel the breeze from the fan, and when I stood up, I was watching them the whole time. I was walking by both of them. What's the deal with these guys? Do they have a purpose? Or do they just like to be creepy and watch us? I've seen a lot of things throughout my life, and I'm so grateful to finally have someone to tell about them and actually be believed. I love your thoughts. Oh, and sorry, Tony, but these guys weren't wearing hats. Damn.
You know, I wish we knew the purpose of shadow people. That would explain so much.
Or their hats.
Or why they wear hats.
Yeah, because there's a lot of... Were you here when I was talking about the hats?
Probably.
I don't know. Were you just zoned out on what I was talking about?
I don't know.
It might have been the week you were gone.
Okay.
I was just talking about how it seems that there's so many... There was a couple stories in a row, I believe, where it was a story of a shadow person. And it was wearing a hat. And then I started just kind of looking up online, the shadow people, you know, images that people describe. And a lot of them, they're wearing hats. So I don't know why. I don't know what the significance is. I just thought it was an interesting thing that, for whatever reason, people appear to think that the shadow people are wearing hats of some sort.
Yeah.
They're kind of, you know, pioneer-ish,
mm-hmm.
you know, of that era, if you will. I don't know. It's hard to tell when it's a shadow, but if you're just looking at the outline, I would think, oh, these look like the type you'd have at the first Thanksgiving.
Okay. Okay.
So, I don't know.
I don't know either. And the way she described them initially as just seeing the outline, I wonder if it was so much that she was just seeing the outline or if it was just there was such a dark void where they are
mm-hmm.
that it just looked like it was just an outline, but it was just a shadow person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's interesting also about the, and I think maybe should be more of a cautionary thing, is it may not be the best to go, "I'm not afraid of you," if it is something dark, because they'll find a way to make you afraid of them.
Yeah.
If that's what they truly want to do. There's really, I don't think any human is going to be capable of not being afraid of them if they really want you to be afraid. Like, if that doesn't scare you, okay, well, wait till our next appearance. You know, I think they'll amp it up wherever it needs to go, if that's their goal.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, it may just be some ghosts that are hanging out and just thought it was amusing that someone said that to them and they were seen. But if there's like some sort of mission here to terrorize, taunting, it's probably not the best of ideas.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not necessarily a taunt. I think it was said more so in confidence, like, "This will make it go away." I don't think so. But if it stopped, then it may not have been so evil.
Yeah, it may just be looking for some kind of clarification or verification that
mm-hmm.
they can be seen.
Or just likes to screw with people.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, it is.
Elizabeth writes in, "My story is pretty short. I've written in before about being followed by something that visits me at night. The story took place when I was about 12. I was babysitting my brother, who was barely a toddler at the time. He was born both blind and deaf and was premature and weighed only 16 ounces. After many surgeries, he's now able to see, hear, and speak. I believe his experiences have made him aware of supernatural things. Well, he was in his crib asleep, and I was downstairs watching the movie The Messengers when I hear him screaming and crying upstairs. I rushed there and found him with his back against the side of the crib, staring at the corner of the room. He looked horrified and said, 'Scary lady,' over and over. This freaked me out because the boy in the movie had just done something similar. This got me wondering, can watching scary movies invite or allow these things to feel welcomed? Anyway, thank you. This show is awesome. Jenny?
I think it depends on the content of the movie. Because I think you can watch a scary movie and nothing would happen. But like what you and I have talked about on the show previously, where they're saying things and almost conjuring things and stuff that I wouldn't be comfortable saying out loud in my home.
Sure.
To stir things up. I've wondered if that's going to stir activity up just by it being said out loud.
I think it has the potential. I think it also has to do with the environment and, you know, how much of a battery the place is for it to be happening. So is it, you know, do you need to be afraid of watching scary movies and having it happen? Probably not. Could it happen? Sure. But, I mean, it could probably also happen without you watching the scary movie, too, if it's going to happen.
I worry more so about the demonic type things.
Yeah.
With that versus just a ghost.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think there's, it certainly, I don't think it happens every time someone watches the movie, but it, if there's something going on or someone with something going on around there that it seems to be a good invite, it could be the invite it needs.
Could be.
So, I don't know. Interesting thing to talk about and think about. We've talked about that several times. We've had people who say they listen to the show and weird shit starts happening to them.
Yeah, but I think part of that is you just become more in tune with what's going on around you. Things that you maybe wouldn't have noticed before listening, you now notice.
Yeah, I mean, especially the folks who've picked up on the subliminal messages that we insert throughout the show, where we're speaking in reverse, whispering, and it's all these, you know, side messages that...
No. Nope, none of that.
I wonder how you could even do that. I suppose there'd be ways. I don't know. I don't care to figure it out. Danny writes in, my older brother and I were involved in a car accident with a drunk driver 2 years ago. I survived without a scratch, but my brother was killed. In an attempt to finally ease my mind about it, I went to see a psychic. When I walked in, before I even said anything, her face fell and told me there's a secret buried in my parents' backyard. The rest of the visit wasn't noteworthy, and she couldn't really tell me anything about my brother, so I was convinced she was a phony and didn't rush to my parents' house or anything. However, a couple weeks later, my parents were out of town, and I was house-sitting for them and decided to dig in this dirt patch where grass never grew, and no matter how hard my dad tried to get to it, I dug 2 feet till I found an old-looking wooden box about the size of a shoebox. I almost didn't open it, thinking that the remains of an old family pet were in there that my father had buried God knows how long ago. But for some reason, I opened it. Inside, I found 2 old porcelain dolls, a boy and a girl. The boy had brown hair and blue eyes, exactly like my brother, and the girl had sandy blonde hair and blue eyes. And you guessed it, just like me. The thing that gave me chills was that the boy doll was cracked, dirty, and old-looking, and the girl looked almost brand new. No cracks or dirt to be found. My parents swear they have never even seen these dolls before. They didn't belong to me or my brother. Well, there you go.
I don't know what to make of that.
The only thing that comes to mind is that someone tried or attempted to put some sort of hex or spell or something on you guys. How long ago it was, how much it actually pertains to the car accident, I don't know.
Yeah. It's just bizarre.
It is. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, and depending on the age of the dolls without seeing them, it could also have just been some child's toys that they buried back there, or it got, you know, buried over time, and that's, you know.
But I think you're onto something with like a hex or a curse or something, because the psychic wouldn't have been able to pick up on something if it was just the people that used to live there just buried these dolls.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of something linked to that that the psychic was picking up on.
I don't know if I could go as far to say that if it was a hex or a curse, then that was the reason he died in the car accident.
No.
I don't know that I would go that far. It is odd that his is broken and messed up and hers is not. It's creepy.
It's creepy, but I just wonder, and this may not have anything to do with their family. It may have been families prior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, whoever buried the dolls, but it just makes you wonder if some kind of dark energy was put onto those dolls meant for somebody else. And it just lingered.
Oh, we will never know.
No, I'm not trying to say that the accident was because of a curse, but I'm just thinking there's something that about those dolls.
Ask the neighbor's kids if they lost any dolls recently. I don't know. I wonder how old the neighbors are.
Yeah.
Jimmy writes in, "Hey guys, longtime listener, love the show. Walking to high school at the age of 15 on a typical overcast English morning, I suddenly felt a strong urge to pick up a discarded matchstick from the sidewalk. Completely out of character, I didn't smoke and was a bit too old to do those kind of things. A couple of seconds delay doing this, however, ended up saving my life. Right where I would have been crossing the road otherwise, a red Volvo went careering through the red light, losing control and hitting a tree. To this day, I don't know what made me stop to pick up that matchstick. Of course, I held on to it as a lucky match, but inevitably lost the thing. I like to think it's making its way around the world, saving more lives. My mother, however, had a less fortunate brush with the paranormal. Working at a care home during the night shift, she went to pick up a piece of paper off the carpet. She got a fright when the paper turned out to be a moth. She got an even bigger fright when she heard an old woman laughing at her scare. Trouble is, there was no one else in the room. All of the above is 100% true. Keep up the good work."
Do you think something was trying to get his attention away so he wouldn't be hit by that car?
I think it's just one of those everything happens for a reason stories. And, you know, not necessarily a voice saying pick it up. It's just you pick it up and it wasn't your time yet.
Yeah.
Even as out of character as that was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. As far as the moth, and the woman laughing, again, it sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
If I was a ghost. So, and then this is the harmless ghost screwing with people at the nursing home. Having good times. Zach writes in, "I had not heard of the black-eyed children before listening to your podcast, and even after hearing about them, nothing registered. For some reason, the topic interested me more than others at the time, so I did additional research. I didn't find anything crazy or any new information that furthered my curiosity. However, one night, lying in bed, I remembered a story my dad had told me from a few years back. He lives about 10 miles outside of Hot Springs, Arkansas, amongst mostly cow pastures. He has several neighbors, but not a lot that are really close. Around 11 p.m. one night, after he had already gone to bed and fallen asleep, he woke up to a knock at the front door. When he opened the front door, there was a kid. He thought to be about 14, on a bicycle, waiting on the sidewalk that was off the front porch and probably 8 or so feet from the front door. My dad, not knowing what else to say, simply said, 'Hey,' to which the kid replied simply, 'Can you give me a ride to my house?' My dad had had a few beers and told him he didn't feel safe driving. My mom was also going through some pretty rough cancer treatments and he couldn't leave her alone. The boy told my dad that he just lived down the road not far from his house. He told the boy about my mom and that he couldn't leave her. He didn't seem to get annoyed or show any other emotion and then just left without saying another word. I probed my dad for more information last night and he told me that he wasn't able to see the kid's eyes because it was dark out and of course there are no street lights as far out as he lives. He said it was also starting to thunder and lightning, which I know can be associated with black-eyed children. Needless to say, he was pretty weirded out by the incident but had not considered the paranormal as a suspect until I mentioned it to him. I've seen that most black-eyed children stories are from over in England. Is it possible that they have made their way to the southern part of the U.S.? Finding and listening to your show has been great. I love it. Thanks for the effort and keep up the good work. Immigrating ghosts.
I think black-eyed children are everywhere.
Yeah, I think the stories really are all over the place.
But I have to wonder, in this particular case, could it have been something paranormal? Maybe. Or was it just a kid saw a storm was coming and starting to light thunder and lightning and he wants out of the elements?
I think it could be as simple as that. I guess it really just kind of depends on the comfort level of the children there at that point in time to ask a stranger for a ride.
I think I would be wanting to find some shelter away from lightning. I wouldn't be on a metal bicycle.
Yeah. With big, like one of those big flagpoles on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Lightning rods.
Lightning rods.
Yeah.
Like Back to the Future on the Schwinn. 855-853-4802 is our number. Laura writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I hope this finds you well. My name is Laura. I'm from Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. My fiance and I discovered your podcast about 8 months ago and have been faithful listeners since. We've developed a ritual of going for an evening drive to listen and discuss the entertaining and often insightful stories. My story is not a scary one, but it is my only one, and for me, it was confirming. I hope you enjoy it. It happened about a year ago on a bright, sunny June afternoon. It was about 5 p.m. and we were in the car on the way to dinner. It was rush hour, so it was busy, but we were moving steadily. Ahead of us was a couple of motorcycles. Well, I wasn't paying them any particular attention. They were only a car length in front of us and clearly visible. They were middle-aged and wearing sunglasses, black helmets, jeans, matching leather jackets. The jackets were black with Harley written across the back in orange block letters. The woman had shoulder-length dark hair and was blowing in the wind as she was sitting back with her hands on her knees, taking in the scenery. We followed them for a minute or so, then we slowed for a red light and the motorcycle changed lanes. As we pulled up alongside them, I looked out my window and was shocked to see an empty space on the bike where a second before had been a woman. She'd been out of my line of vision just long enough to go through my blind spot, not more than a second. The driver was not acting like he had just lost his passenger, though, so I told myself I must have imagined her. As I sat there trying to convince myself that the woman had been an optical illusion or something, my fiancé glanced out my window, did a double take, and asked in a panicked voice, "Where's the girl that was on that bike?" I sat in stunned silence as he proceeded to describe exactly what I'd seen. When he was all done, all I could manage was, I don't know, but I saw her too. She had fallen off, as my fiancé first thought. She would have caused an accident, and the driver would have reacted. If she jumped off, she would have caused an accident. To our left was a median and three lanes of rush hour traffic. To our right was a concrete island and an exit onto the freeway. Ahead of us was a busy intersection. There was simply nowhere to go, nor do I think it was a trick of the light. It was full daylight. The sun was to the west, and we were heading north. There was no glare whatsoever. The woman looked as solid as you or I and was interacting with the people and the environment around her. My fiancé saw her, waving to other cyclists as they waved back, and distinctly remember her hair blowing in the breeze. It never occurred to me that she wasn't real until she vanished. But vanish she did. Now you see her, now you don't. Thanks for reading my story. Love what you're doing. Keep it up, Laura.
That would be a very difficult one to explain. If there's no place for her to go, was she ever there?
And the interaction with the other bicyclists, I would think that they would have seen this.
Yeah.
Or if they did interact or interact with the other bikers, and she wasn't supposed to be there. You would assume that they knew her.
That, or it could have just been a biker to biker.
Or just random wave. Okay. I'm thinking like a pack of bikers going around.
No. I'm thinking it was probably just like somebody coming the opposite direction. Okay. And you see a fellow motorcyclist, so you just kind of wave.
Sure. Okay. So they were, I get what you're saying. So they were just as, be just as stunned as anyone else if she disappeared.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, my only guess would be that there's someone that was with that biker who was visible and presumably living that had passed on, and there was a reason she was still with him.
Yeah.
And somehow, for whatever reason, was being seen for a moment in time. I wonder if that's why she was excited and waving to everyone, though, too. Like, hey, look, I'm visible right now.
I don't know. That, or she was just doing something they used to enjoy doing together.
Yeah. Interesting, interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very disturbed by that one, had that happened to me. Another letter, Koss writes in, when I was in college, I worked at a daycare facility, without naming the exact company. This particular facility had a sort of lighthouse at the top of the entrance. After getting to know everybody, I started hearing stories about Jose. I've never been a particularly strong believer in the paranormal, probably because I scare easily and try to ignore anything strange or unexplainable. Some of the teachers would tell me about how all the children in the infant rooms, roughly 6 to 18 months old, would randomly babble and seem to play with something or someone while playing alone. If you could get their attention, you could even ask them where Jose was, and they would all search the room and point to part of the room. Being a skeptic, I didn't believe any of this, even after witnessing it myself in the classroom. Couple weeks later, the cook told me the story about how Jose would play games with her. She regularly arrived at the daycare center between 4:30 and 5 a.m. in order to have breakfast. Maybe it's Josie. Is it Josie? I'm looking.
No, it's spelled like Jose.
Okay.
I think Josie would be J-O-S-I-E.
Okay. I'm going to keep going with Jose.
Yeah.
Between 4:30 and 5 a.m. in order to have breakfast ready for the children that arrived at 6:30 a.m. She said that she knew for a fact that she was the only person in the building, but the phone in the kitchen started ringing. The phone said caller ID, and it showed that it was a particular classroom calling her line. She ignored it, but the phone calls continued from every other classroom in the building. She eventually called her husband and demanded he come to the building. He found her locked in the kitchen, scared to death, and holding a very large knife. Her husband found that the building was empty, and they chalked it up to Jose playing with the phones. I still don't believe much about any of this until it started happening in my classroom. One day, I had split my class into two groups. One group was playing with the toys in my class. The other group was sitting at the tables in the classroom with me, working on a project. The way the class was set up, the toys the kids would play with, and the phone in the room were positioned closest to the door that led to the main hallway. It was a long, skinny room, and the tables and the kids and I were sitting at where located at the back of the classroom. I was in the middle of instructing an art project when my class phone rang. I paused my activities and went to the phone. The caller ID didn't read any particular room, but I didn't find that odd. I answered the phone, but no one was there. I shrugged it off and hung up. Walked all the way back to my tables, and the second I sat down in my chair, the phone rings again. Annoyed, I got up, got to go answer it, but there's no one on the other line again. This happens two more times in a row, and eventually I said, "Okay, Jose, I'm done playing." And that was it. The phone didn't ring again. I smiled and went back to teaching my kids. About 6 months later, I had moved on to a different daycare center. I'd been asked to sub in one of the infant rooms while feeding one of the babies. The other teacher asked which daycare center I'd come from. After telling her, she told me that was the exact center her father-in-law passed away in. He was a construction worker and was up in the lighthouse working on installing the panes of glass. Something happened, and unfortunately, he fell to his death. She told me that he was a very caring person who loved children, but he was also a prankster. I told her the stories I knew from the daycare center, and she could only smile and nod. She was pretty certain it was him. I'm still a skeptic, but this experience has left an impression upon me. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks.
I think it makes sense, if that's the kind of person he was, that he would probably still be haunting the daycare.
And doing those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And having fun with the kids, not trying to scare them, because it's good they're not, like, freaking out.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of playing, and then he screws with the adults.
Yeah.
Not the kids, which is probably the right thing to do.
Sure.
So, yeah, that sounds pretty harmless.
Yeah.
As far as a haunting goes. But a haunting, nonetheless. Thank you for writing that story, and we appreciate that. Our next story, hello, Tony and Jenny. I'd like to share another real-life ghost story. My name is Melvina. Is it Melvina?
Melvina.
Melvina, okay, from Illinois. This story took place years ago after my eldest daughter's eighth grade graduation. My family and I were traveling back home after the graduation. The time of day was about dusk, and we were driving south on Sheridan Road in Evanston. There was a large cemetery on the west side of the street and Lake Michigan on the east. Sheridan Road is a busy and well-traveled street. I was sitting in the front passenger seat looking through the wrought iron gates of the cemetery. Suddenly, I noted three ladies that looked to be Hispanic, and all three women were standing by the side with their heads bowed, standing next to a grave. I also noticed the women were wearing what looked to be white lace covering of their tops of their hair. These three women were only a few feet away inside the cemetery. I saw all three women as clear as day. I turned away only for a second to say to my family, "Look, did you see them?" My kids, who were in the back seat, said, "See what?" I was explaining to them what I just saw. I turned back to where I had seen the women standing, and they had vanished. There was no way all three of those women could have walked away that fast. They were nowhere in sight. Sometimes I wonder, were those ladies real or ghosts? From what I remember, they didn't appear to be young women. I turned my head for only a second. It would have been impossible for them to move that fast. I do have one more story I'd like to share, but I'll write it again at a later date. I enjoy your show.
I think they were real ghosts.
I think that sums it up.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder, you know, that would be interesting to go back sometime and look at the grave where they were and see if it has any kind of significance as far as, you know, it may just be a name, but it's kind of curious.
Or it could be three sisters all next to each other that all died at the same time.
Yeah, that could be it.
I don't know. Could be Resurrection Mary's friends.
Could be.
Because that's a rather famous haunting there in the Chicagoland area. That's what I was thinking of when the story started, but very similar in, you know, not exactly similar in nature, but as far as seeing them on the in the cemetery, at least that's how the story starts with the Resurrection Mary. But interesting story. Thank you for writing in. Cheryl says, my husband and I have been looking for a house since our neighborhood was going downhill. And my sister called me and said she drove by a house when she was leaving church. It was for sale by owner. She said it looked perfect for me. It was a cute ranch house, and I was looking for a ranch. She told me where it was, and I drove by and immediately loved it. I wrote down the number and looked at it the same day. When I saw the inside, I knew I had to have it. I put a contract on the house pending the sale of my current one. The house was listed by the family after their mother had died. The family and I talked a lot over the next several months while I waited for my house to sell. I learned that the parents had both died in the house a few years apart, both of natural causes. I learned their names and how they came to build this house. Their niece was an architect, drew up the plans according to the way Grace would have wanted the house. And my family was in construction, so they did a lot of the work. It was her dream house, and she made it look like something from Home and Gardens. The yard was full of flowers, trees, and bushes. It was glorious looking. After a few months and her house wasn't selling, we decided to list it as rent to buy. Luckily, we got a renter before they put it back on the market. We moved in and loved the house. Several things started to happen that were odd. I would be on the computer and home alone when the TV would turn on suddenly. Lights would turn on and off. The settings on the TV and computer were always getting messed up. It worked one day, then not the next. Everything electronic seemed to be getting messed up. Things that we lost, like my son's wallet, would turn up in plain view after digging the house apart looking for it. The remote control to the TV was missing, and then one day it was on the coffee table. We were all in the living room watching television when I would start smelling a cherry scent. This would occur mostly on the weekends. I thought my son, who was only 7, had dropped some candy or something cherry smelling. As hard as I looked under the couch, the cushions, etc., I could not find the source. My husband and son didn't smell it. My husband accuses me of having a nose of a bloodhound. Finally, I told my husband and son to sit where I was and smell. They both could smell it then. This kept occurring, and I noticed the same smell in the bathroom off the mudroom and laundry room, which had been Herbert's bathroom since he was in construction. My husband was outside one day and asked our neighbor, who knew the previous owners, if Herbert smoked. He said, you never saw Herbert go anywhere without his pipe full of cherry tobacco. I've been very interested in the paranormal and was in a paranormal investigation group, so I started to get my camera out and take videos. Every time I took a video, there were always orbs flying around. My cats would be watching something unseen to us. A couple years after moving in, I'd have surgery on my back, and when I was home recuperating, I'd feel like there was something standing over me. Like when you sense someone is with you. I thought my husband came in, so I looked up, and there was no one there. I think Grace was watching over me to be sure I was okay. Since I had the back surgery, I was no longer able to keep up with the landscaping, and things started to get overgrown and wild. We ended up losing a lot, if not most, of the perennials, so we took a section and pulled everything out and put rocks in for easier upkeep. I put this in here because we'll have meeting later in the story. We did several maglight sessions asking if Grace and Herbert were here. We would always get responses to the questions that were right on target. One night I was sleeping and was in a half-awake, half-asleep state when I opened my eyes and saw an elderly man sitting in the rocker next to the bed smoking a pipe. I didn't have a rocker there. I tried to find a photo of him online but never could. I wonder if it was Herbert. I was used to sleep with my foot hanging out of the bed when one night I was awakened by a cold hand on my foot. My husband and son were asleep. In one of the Maglite sessions, my sister asked if it was Grace who had touched my foot, and the Maglite indicated yes. I was posting some of these occurrences on a Facebook page for ghost hunters. A few of these posts, I got a message from one of the members to see if her paranormal investigation group could come out for an investigation. Of course, I said yes. We set up a date, and they came out one night to investigate. We broke up into two groups and started the investigation. The group I was with was getting really strong EMF readings, but the Maglites were not responding when we were asking if it was Grace or Herbert. I asked the group if I could ask a question. My sister had recently passed unexpectedly in her sleep, so I asked if it was her. The Maglite said yes. The leader of the group was a psychic medium who I had never met, and she started to get information from my sister, saying she felt bad and wondered if I had forgiven her. The medium had no way of knowing my sister and I had been on the outs before her passing. We also got an EVP when I asked if her death was an accident, stating yes. I diverged, though. The other group was connecting with the previous owners. When they were done, we set up a time for them to come back for the reveal after all the photos and EVPs were gone through. The medium, I'll call her Sue, came back and told us that the first day she came over to meet me, she was welcomed at the door by the previous owner saying, "Welcome to our home." When they did the walkthrough, she felt a sorrowful feeling when she stood by the kitchen window that faced out to where the garden used to be. She told me on the reveal that Grace was sad for me that I couldn't look out the window and see all the beautiful flowers. When we did the investigation, at the end, we did a crossing for my sister. As we were listening to the recording of the crossing, Sue said Grace tapped her on the shoulder and asked, "Can you help me?" She got information that Grace was always here and Herbert stopped in to see her frequently. She also asked if we had to replace the water heater since we moved in, and we had shortly after moving in. Sue said the previous owners would turn on the hot water before using the shower due to temperature changes and asked if the water had turned on when either of us were in the shower. My husband and I had recalled when he asked me if I had come into the bathroom and turned on the sink, and I had not. When we were done going through the information, we did a crossing for Grace. As we got ready to do this, the smell of cherry tobacco came through really strong. And Sue and another member of the paranormal group smelled it as well. We did the crossing. As we did, I felt a cold chill and had goosebumps all over, as did my husband. After having resident ghosts around for 5+ years, the house felt strangely quiet and empty. Since then, I've not been able to get any further videos of orbs in my house or any Maglite sessions. Sue did say that Grace would try to watch her favorite soap opera and couldn't figure out how to use the television, and she was also interested in how to use the computer and was trying to learn, thus the settings always getting messed up. That is my ghost story. I hope it wasn't too long. I listen to your podcast all the time. Keep up the great work.
I like that one. That's just a cute little happy ghost story.
I do too. And that's like an example of a ghost story where when we get the folks who are like, "Well, every single ghost is a demon." Okay. Then explain that one.
Yeah.
Explain where's the demonic activity going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe that just after all of the stories that we have. That is the case. Are some of them? Sure. But I think some of them are just that. It's Grace and Herbert.
Yeah.
And they never harmed anything when they were ghosts. They never did anything to freak anybody out other than the fact that they were ghosts. And then when they got crossed over, they got crossed over and they were done. There's just so much that we don't know about. It's so difficult to say, anything is an absolute on this topic.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to do that. And with all of the stories that we have, it's just, makes it impossible. But that was a very interesting, those were ghost people story.
Yeah.
I can very confidently believe that. Adam writes in, "I have a few stories that I'd like to tell, all of which are true, but this story will be about the first time anything unexplained happened to me. Start by saying that my father and I have always been able to feel things that most other people don't. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and my dad took me with him on a mowing job in rural Virginia. I don't remember much from this age, but I do remember this day entirely. We went to a pretty isolated piece of property, which took about 10 minutes to get to along a gravel road. It was a small, older-looking house, and it had two barns. Since it was during the summer and it wasn't near any roads or traffic, my dad decided to let me roam around the property. He told me that nobody lived there anymore, but the new property owner still would like the landscape maintained. So as my dad began mowing, I started to walk around. I remember seeing bees and being terrified of them. I ran up near the house, stepped up on the porch, and began looking inside the house. I had a creepy feeling just being on the property. But an even more unnerving feeling while looking inside the house. I felt like I was drawn to the house, that I needed to go in. I checked the door, but it was locked. As soon as I turned around, it seemed like everything went into slow motion. I saw a pale white figure with long black hair flowing through the wind. I knew it was a girl, but I could not make out any facial features. I saw no eyes, nose, or mouth. That sight didn't scare me, but after that, I just wanted to be close to my dad, so I followed him around while he mowed, up until he finished mowing. He loaded up the mower and put me in the car and left. That's all I remember of that day. It wasn't until years later when I brought that house up when conversating with my dad. Turns out he felt the same thing. And then he revealed to me that on a drive out, he stopped at the nearest neighbor's house and asked about the property. The neighbor then explained that in the basement of the home, a man killed his daughter and then killed himself. When my father revealed that to me, my heart sank to my stomach. Now, years later, I still think about how that house made me feel. I felt dread, fear, and I felt like someone was always right behind me. Even more strange is whenever I think about it, I get really teary-eyed. I don't really know why, but it just makes me cry. I don't feel sad or scared or anything. It doesn't make sense to me why it makes me cry. I'd love your feedback and opinion on what I experienced that day, the things I saw, and the way I felt.
I think it's just a case of being sensitive and being young, because I think people that are sensitive, unless, you know, they really focus on it, they are more sensitive when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And being that he was a child at that time, the daughter probably felt like she could approach him.
Sure, it was a more relatable mm-hmm. feeling. And when something like that happens and it's still there as the energy being felt, you know. What's an analogy I'm trying to think of here? Like, when you're a kid,
mm-hmm.
sounds seem louder.
Yeah.
They do. And it's probably true because your ears are fresher. And they probably pick up more. As we get older, we get slowly deaf. But everything seems a little more loud. And you can see a little more clearly, too, in most cases. You know, if you have good eyesight. So I think it's very true on that, too. Just emotionally, you're probably more open to feeling those other things.
Yeah.
It's a sense that we don't recognize as one of our, you know, senses. But it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, that sixth sense or the other sense, whatever you want to call it, but it's there.
I agree.
Very interesting story. Thank you for writing that in. Brittany writes in, my name's Brittany and I'm from Virginia. I've listened to the, listened from the beginning. I really love your show and everything that both of you put into it. It allows for such great discussion on these topics, so easily dismissed by others. I have some degree of sensitivity and I'm the daughter of a history buff and an antique collector, so I've had quite a few experiences, some more in depth than others. Small snippets of my life, and I thought it was time for me to share and see what you think. I think I'll divide it up into a few letters so I don't drag on for too long. I'll start with the shorter stories first and get to the others if you'd like to hear more. I'll attempt to go in chronological order just for organization's sake. A little background on me. My dad was in the military, so we moved about a dozen times in the first 18 years of my life. My mother collects antiques, as I said, and both of my parents have an interest in history, resulting in many family vacations to old houses, forts, battlefields, and cemeteries. Some of my earliest memories, I'm 23 now, are playing with my imaginary friend. was always a child that could entertain myself and do somewhat attribute that to having friends. My parents could not see keeping me company. Anyway, the imaginary friend was a girl my age. I told everyone that would listen about my sister to the point that adults such as teachers and friends and parents thought I actually had a sister. I talk about her constantly and about the things we would do together. Everything was my sister and I, and it went on for several years. I played with her all the time. One day I went into school, kindergarten, and I think I told my teacher that my sister had died and I wouldn't be seeing her anymore. She called my mother sobbing with condolences about losing my sister. My mother, having only one daughter and one son, 5 years older than me, was confused at first and informed my teacher that there was no sister and she certainly had not died. I can't remember any interactions with my teacher after that, but I know I never saw the little girl again. I can imagine that teacher trying to avoid you as well.
Yeah.
I try to remember what I called her, but for the life of me, I cannot. I don't know who she was or if it was paranormal, but I do know that I have a vivid picture of her in my mind, and at that age, I had never experienced a death or even losing a pet. Almost 20 years later, my mother told me that I was originally a twin, and my twin died before birth. I don't know if those things are connected, but it gave me chills when I found out. Fast forward about 4 or 5 years, and I was homesick from school. Whenever I was sick, I would gather up my blankets and tissues and food and camp out in my parents' room on their huge bed and watch Looney Tunes all day. I'd done this many times, and this day was no different. The room was situated so the door was in the middle of the wall to the left of the bed, but it was a fairly small room, so it was maybe 4 feet from where I was on the bed. Clear line of sight, all that. So I was watching my cartoons when I hear the floor creak down the hall. I figured it was my mom, so I turned down the volume on the TV so I could talk to her when she came in, but nothing else happened. So I chalked it up to hearing things and went back to cartoons. As I was about to turn the volume back up, the door swings open and stays open for maybe 10 seconds and then slams shut. There was no one else in the hall. I know it was not the heater, AC, or anything because my parents never liked using it, so unless it was extreme weather, it just made us bundle up more. Also, the unit was older and it would make loud noises as it came on. I knew the door was latched shut, not swinging or anything. I'd never seen anything like that before or after in that house, although I would spend many more days in that room. I still can't quite explain it. Quite often throughout my early years, and even today, we have things go missing only for them to reappear days or weeks later somewhere we hadn't even been. At this point, if something goes missing, I'll say, okay, you've had your fun. I really need this back now. And sometimes it will reappear quickly after, lying on the counter or bed where we had looked many times. I suppose some of that could just be absent-mindedness, but sometimes it's so far from where the item would normally be, it's hard to attribute it to being a space cadet. One more short one and I'll wrap this up. My mother had a large cabinet, 10 or 12 feet high, with shelves in the top part and a cupboard in the bottom section. It had been used in the Underground Railroad. It had holes in the back for air and enough room for one or two people to hide in during raids and things of that nature. I always get a strange vibe from it, and to this day, every time I see it, I get a weird feeling. Once I was in the next room and I heard a loud crash, ran out to the hall to see the doors to the bottom part lying flat on the floor, having been ripped right off the hinges. When I was about 8 or so, we got a puppy, and she'd constantly stare at that piece or in the corners around it, just stare and sometimes growl at nothing. It's still sitting in the foyer of my parents' house, but I haven't had anything happen lately aside from odd twinges of feelings. So those are a few of my stories. I had a good childhood for the most part. I've learned to live alongside some things that were unexplainable. Later, my life took a very dark turn, and I think that opened me up to a different level of entity. I also have some stories from Savannah, along with some odd pictures, if you'd like to hear those stories. I'd be happy to send them in. Thank you again for what you do. Your show is truly remarkable, and you are just the right people to do it. Keep up the incredible work. All my best, Brittany.
I don't think we've ever said that we didn't want to hear anymore.
No.
We always want to hear more. Yeah. So please send those in.
Trust us. If we're reading your story on the show, we would like to hear more from you.
Yes.
If you have more. So just assume that if you're hearing your story, feel free to send more in. And my goodness, so Brittany has spent approximately how many days of her life listening to our show now?
A lot of
hours that she'll never get back.
Yes.
But thank you, Brittany, for being a listener for so long and supporting the show. We really do appreciate that. Interesting stories there.
Yes. I think that the connection between the imaginary friend, sister, mm-hmm. probably does have something to do with the twin that was lost.
Sure.
And I think that because we've had other stories very, very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I liked the most about what she wrote was about the piece of furniture mm-hmm. used in the Underground Railroad, and that it still gives her a weird feeling. I think it probably still holds a lot of fear.
Sure. Well, just the fear that was be. I mean, we talked about that before, where mm-hmm. if you're touching an object or in an object or, you know, those objects probably hold a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Here's a thought. How often do you think Goodwills are haunted with clothes? Meaning the clothes from or any resale shop, you know, where, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking about that, and my thought is like, you know, older people getting rid of grandma's clothes when she passes on. But the thought there, though, is there may not have been a whole lot of trauma in most cases towards the end with grandma.
Yeah.
If you're getting rid of her clothes. And any clothes that I mean, of course, situations happen. There's probably is some, but I'm saying on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of takes that out. I was thinking of dramatic things going on when you're wearing something, but
I think it has to do with the attachment level.
Yeah,
items that you have a stronger attachment to, mm-hmm. you probably aren't really going to just. Well, I'll just give it to Goodwill, like a T-shirt that you've outgrown or can no longer fit into. But I think things that hold a lot of emotional attachment, mm-hmm. like I get weirded out by wedding dresses at resale shops.
That's what I was just going to say. What about like wedding dresses?
Yeah, I think that's great that if that works for you, but I think it weirds me out just because that is such a important piece to mm-hmm. a woman.
There's a lot of energy there.
Yeah.
If
it still has the original tags, it probably wasn't worn. So
sure.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
No.
Very interesting stories today. Thank you guys for writing in. Of course, you can always do it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. It's only $5 a month. You get more than 50 bonus episodes of the show and exclusive video content and more. And that's what keeps our show going. So if you like this thing and you want us to keep it on the air and you want to keep getting the free episodes, throw about $5 a month into the kitty. You get all the bonus stuff and you keep the regular version of the show going as well. And thank you if you're already doing it, and thank you in advance if you're about to do it. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.